we got Proverbs 29. Pastor, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen.
Let's be around and value this conference, is not just what we are taught, but what we're able to share, to spend time together. Thank you for children to enjoy time together. Just ask now that you would use this final session to again bring light to our minds and information that will help us to make changes that will please you and Father.
Amen.
So I pray, especially starting with us in the end, start with us, that we would really instill within our homes the changes that are needed to please you.
Amen. All right, we're in Proverbs 29. We looked at verse 15. We're going to look at verse 17. And we're talking about confidence in raising children, that we can do what we should do and see our kids turn out right. So that's what we're talking about. And what I'd like to accomplish in this, and we'll be finished with this today, probably won't deal with it any tomorrow, but what I'd like to accomplish is just in our hearts and lives, confidence that we can trust God for the future of our children. Okay? So, we were in I'm in chapter 23, that won't work. Okay, chapter 29, we're in verse 15, look at verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give you rest, or thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Okay, correct your son, he'll give you rest, yea, he'll give delight to your soul. The word delight is an interesting word. It's a word that means dainty. It's feminine, basically, in our thinking. It's dainty. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you like coffee? Two people. Excuse me. Wow. I don't want to happen. Okay. Don't you hate when people drink water in front of you? Boy, was that good. A candy bar with that would be perfect. Okay, I'm sorry. My goodness, I'm sorry. Okay. Let me ask again, since I was in the middle of coughing. How many of you like coffee? Okay, most of you. How many of you like tea? Iced tea? Oh, most of you again. Okay. It's in May. It's 72 degrees, and it's a Saturday afternoon. You're on your back porch. You have a back porch? Okay, if not, you're out in the backyard and you have your favorite cup of coffee or you have your favorite glass of iced tea or for that matter, hot tea. And you're just sitting there enjoying the day. And you take a sip of coffee and you just go, ah. Have you ever done that? Okay, that's the word delight. If you correct your son, he will be for you a delight. Now think of it this way. Ever been home on a Saturday afternoon? You've got a 5-year-old and you're taking care of him and you've got a 14-year-old and she's running in the house and so on and so forth. Have you ever gone, ah? Okay. Well, that's what correcting your children is to bring. Now let me ask it this way, so it will be more reasonable. Have you ever sat down and been thankful for your kids at 4 or 5? And yes, they're hard. It's hard work. I would say, and I mean this, there's never been an endeavor in my life for which I felt less capable than being a father. I don't think even being a husband. I know there are hard things about being a husband or difficult task, I suppose, but I don't know. I just never thought it would be hard to be married. And 50 years later, I still don't think so. But with my children, whenever I use expressions of discipline and spanking, I always use my father because we can laugh about that. You know, I can say, if my dad spanked you, you'd love him for quitting. And I can laugh. I cannot yet laugh about spanking my own kids. I can't think of anything that was worse, was more awful. I asked my mother once, did you like spankings when you were a child? She said, no. I said, well, why do you give them? Isn't that a good question? But she explained it to me. She did. She said, because I didn't enjoy it, but it worked in my becoming the adult I've become, and so I want the same thing for you. Two weeks ago, in a family conference with Will and Tim Thompson in Iowa, a man came up to me after a service and said, well, what you're saying is good about teenagers that are rebels, but he said, what do you do with a 63-year-old? So I asked, are you 63? And he said, yes. Well, that's a legitimate question, isn't it? Let me tell you a story he told me. When he was a boy, he was a rebel. He went against everything his parents said. He finally left home. He got married. He lost his wife, not surprising. He lost the relationship with his kids, and then he was saved. He's gotten the relationship with his kids back somewhat. But he said, I've never forgotten this. He said, when I was a teenager, I got in trouble at school. And a friend of mine the next day said, did you get in trouble at home for what you did at school? Evidently, it was a big deal. Did you get in trouble at home? And he said, I was a teenager. I said, no. Why should I get in trouble at home? And his friend, this is a teenager. Now listen to the wisdom here. The friend said, don't your parents love you? You know, nobody's quite as dumb as we think they are. They just reject truth. So the deal is, if you love your kids and if you work at it with your kids, they will be a blessing. Tim Thompson tells how he trained his kids to shake hands and to say hello. And so he trained them to do that. Will, my son, tells a story of being a member at a church where every Sunday the pastor would do the same thing. When they came in the church, the pastor would come up, Will tells it, bend at the waist to his son. This would be Weston. He would have been 5 or 6. And the pastor would hold out a hand and say, and how are you, young man? And of course, Weston at 5 was looking around and doing whatever, and Will would say, shake your hands, until finally Will had enough sense to say, this happens every Sunday. I see it happen. Weston doesn't respond properly, so let me teach him. So he sat Weston down. He said, now, Weston, we go to church Sunday. The pastor's going to come up to you. He's going to bend at the waist. He's going to hold out his hands, and he's going to say, and how are you, young man? And he said, when he does, I want you to say, fine, thank you, and how are you, and take his hand and shake it. And they practiced. So the next week, they went to church, and they came to the door. The pastor met them, bent at the waist, held out a hand, and how are you, young man? And Weston said, fine, thank you, and shook his hand. And I'm assuming Will went, ah. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. So would this suggest that training and teaching works? And the answer is yes. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now this is really interesting. Dad, don't provoke your children to wrath, don't make your kids mad, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture means teaching, it means enforced discipline, it means discipline with a hook. It includes, in its root meaning, the same thing as to chasten, or we would say to spank. The word admonition means to put into the mind of. It means teach your kids, the sign for it. Sign language, you know, you teach your kids. You put into their mind. Okay, so dad, don't provoke your kids to wrath. We'll get to that in a second. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why? What would be the purpose? What would be the purpose of bringing your kids up, teaching them Bible truths, and putting Bible truths in their mind and enforcing what you say with discipline? What would be the reason for that? Well, so you can beat on your kids, obviously. Let's go back to reading the Bible. What would be the reason for asking your kids, or making, forgive the expression, making your kids read a certain portion you could say daily, or you could say every Saturday, whatever. What would be the purpose of your having your kids read whatever? And, the purpose is to give them an appetite, isn't it? Well, isn't it? See, that's the whole idea. The whole idea is you teach them. Somebody came to me after the service and said, I still don't like liver. And I don't blame him. I feel the same way, except I do like liver. But the point is this. Most of what your parents teach you and most of what they do, even if it seems undesirable at first, becomes part of you, does it not? And so the reason you take your kids to church and don't make it optional, the reason you take them to church is so that they'll learn to want to go to church. Do you always want to go to church? Come on. Do you always want to go to church? You ever want to stay home? Sure, don't we all? Last year, this is April, February last year, Mary and I were in Florida. We have a Florida trip every year that's January and February, and I know you're thinking evil things, but it's called the Florida trip, and it's for the Campership Fund, and we were in 17 churches this year, and all the offerings, all of them, went to the Campership. Campership is the way we pay for deaf young people to come to the ranch. None of it even went for travel. Somebody had given a gift that made all that available, so it's the Campership trip. So we were in Florida, and in this church we were having a family conference. I forgot that, but we were on Sunday night, and I was preaching, and I didn't want to be there because Mary is from Denver. And so Mary and her husband and her son and one of her daughters are all Denver fans. This is the NFL, the Broncos, all right? Now, I have a daughter that lives near D.C., and she roots for some team. It's called the Arapahoes or Navajos or I don't know. You maybe, brother, would know, but it's some team in Washington. I don't know anything about them except they never win. But at any rate, the rest of us are Denver fans. You say, Brother Asher, are you a Denver fan? Yes. I used to be a Miami fan, but then I got married. And so now I'm a Denver fan. All right. So on this Sunday night, Denver was in the AFC, American Football Conference, the AFC Championship against the New England Cheaters. You know about them? They're in New England. Okay. Well, you should know being near Pittsburgh. But at any rate. Okay. So I wanted to see the game. I did want to see the game. I didn't want to go to church. And I probably wouldn't have gone except I was preaching. So I figured it'd be best if I went. So I went to church. Well, the auditorium is about the size of this auditorium back to the break. And there was a lady sitting right here in the middle. This is the truth. I'm telling the truth. In the middle of my sermon, on her phone, the game came on. This is in the middle of my sermon. The pastor stood up when I said something about it. He stood up and said, "Go Broncos." But at any rate, the game came on. Well, I knew this lady. She was sitting, and we'd been there before. So I knew this lady. So I looked right at her, and I said to her, "Mary Rice, is that your phone?" And she said, "No, it's your phone." Then Tim Thompson went to help her get the phone turned off, because, you know, Mary and I are old and we don't know how to turn phones off. And so he went to help Mary with that. And finally, we got the service back together and I finished the message. Well, after the service, I said to Mary, how did the Denver game come on my phone? And she said, I don't know. I was just checking the score. All right. So, I am preaching my heart out. And my wife is sitting there checking the score of the Denver game. All right. So, did she want to be in church? She says, no, she had already heard what I had to say. Well, I had too, but I had to be there, so shouldn't Mary have to be there? And as soon as the service was over, the pastor was talking to people and counseling people and answering questions. I was out at the car finding out who won the game, which, by the way, Denver did win. Did you know that? They won the game, and they won the Super Bowl, and the night of the Super Bowl, my message was exceptionally brief, and we got to see the last half of the Super Bowl. And then this year, they didn't even make the playoffs. Now, would you like to know why they didn't make the playoffs? You'd like to know, wouldn't you? Because I prayed they wouldn't. I wanted Mary listening in the services. So I prayed. Okay, so the point is, do we always want to go to church? No, maybe not. But teach your kids it's the right thing to do and cultivate in them an appetite for it. See, in other words, I know there are hard things in parenting. I know that, but there ought to be some times too. Shouldn't there? You know what happened to me last summer at the ranch? I got to hear Will Rice IV, who's quite a gifted preacher, Tim Thompson, Troy Carlson, Chris Miller, Pastor. I got to hear my pastor. I got to hear these guys preach. Now listen to this. And I heard all five of them say things that 40 years ago I heard my father and uncle say. How'd that happen? Isn't that wonderful? See? I sat in services and I said to myself, I remember when Dad said that. Will is a, what do you call it? He's, when you eat, I want to say voracious, but I don't think that's the word. At any rate, he reads everything. And all the time, he just reads. And Will has read everything my dad wrote, everything, probably twice. And he has read maybe everything, certainly most of everything that John Rice wrote. And he was prolific. He's read all of them. And Will is very concerned about history. Because if you don't take the lessons from history, you're apt to repeat them in the future. And he thinks it's important that we do in the future what we've done in the past. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so my deal is I'm very short of a good parent, but I'm telling you there have been times I've heard Will preach or I've heard Will's kids say things and I say, you know, that came from my parents. I got to tell you the story. I used to say to my kids, if I asked them to do something and they were unhappy about it, your kids ever get unhappy? No. Why do we have to do that? I used to say to them, now you get happy right now or I'm going to help you get happy. And so, you know, you'd say, make your bed, or, you know, finish your plate or whatever. And I would say, listen. And I'd say it just like this. I'd say, you get happy right this second or I'm going to help you get happy. Now, they knew what that meant. And by the way, that's a good way to correct kids at Walmart. Because nobody else knows what you're talking about. Your kids do. You know, you're at Walmart, and your kids are misbehaving. You stop that, and they're a little bit unhappy. And you say to them, you get happy right now, or I'm going to help you get happy. And all the little old ladies at Walmart think that's wonderful. They say, oh, isn't that wonderful? That man wants his children to be happy. Isn't that good? And of course, my kids are thinking, my life is not long on this planet. So it's different things. So the point is, teaching your kids. Well, we were at Ren's house. Ren is 37. Eight? Oh my goodness, Ren is 38. And she's got three kids. Two 13-year-olds are twins and a 10-year-old. And we were at their house, and you sit in the little dining room, and then there's a hall, and across the hall is the girl's bedroom. So I think it was Bree, one of the twins. I don't remember which one it was. But one of the kids was unhappy, so Ren took her to the room, and she was unhappy in the room. And I'm sitting there at the supper table. We just had supper. And I was sitting there at the table, and I heard my daughter say to my granddaughter, exactly, this is what she said. She said, Bree Watson, when you get the whole name, you know you're in trouble. She said, Bree Watson, you get happy right now, or I'm going to help you get happy. And I was at the supper table, and I went, yes. All right, well, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? You got your kids come to church? Isn't that a blessing? Sure. So the point is that, in other words, training kids is supposed to work. Let's look at one more passage, and then we're finished for the morning. Hebrews chapter 13. Excuse me, I said 13 is 12. Hebrews chapter 12, 7. Have you ever heard this? Let me get you to look at me so I can see if there's a response. Have you ever heard this? Well, you know, you can't expect all your children to turn out right. Even God lost some children. Have you ever heard that? Okay, it's a reference to Judas, or more saliently, more correctly, people like Peter, or maybe Lot. Okay. So the by the way, I have always resented that, and I mean strongly. It has always bothered me to hear people say that even God as a father is not successful. Now, it's clearly true that that is not the case. In the first place, Judas was not a son, ever. So he didn't lose a son. In the second place, he didn't lose Lot. Let me say, now there is a caveat here. God isn't finished with us when we're finished with life. So it is God's intention to bring all of us into the image of His Son. Is that not true? That's why we're adopted. It's God's intention that all of us be like His Son, and that intention will never fail, because the day will come when you are perfect. So I've always resented that, but let's look at a passage that deals with it, all right? This is talking about discipline. And it's talking about God's disciplining us. Look at verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? Okay, now let's stop right here. The Hebrews, they were facing persecution. And so they said, wait a minute, aren't we God's children? What's the deal here? So the writer of Hebrews is explaining to God's children how this works. He said, look, if you sense God's training or teaching, and it's not pleasant, God's chastening, God's spanking, if you sense that, recognize that God deals with you as children. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, when he says, what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not, he's not talking primarily of God's chastening, he's talking about ours. So here's the deal. Okay, you wonder why things are uncomfortable. Because God is chastening you just like a dad chastens his son. Are you following this? For what son is he that is not chastened? Okay, then he goes on to say, if you don't receive chastening, now he's talking about God, then are ye bastards, you're illegitimate, and not sons. That's in the next verse. Look down at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Okay, now, look at what he's doing here. He is illustrating God's chastening of us, God's training, God's teaching, God's inculcating, in some cases God's spanking, with a father on this earth. So, just like you as a dad chasten your kids, you love them, but you chasten them, so God our Father chastens us. Now, is everybody following this? Okay, look down at verse 10. For they, our fathers, verily for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. Now, he's going to go on to say, but God for his holiness. Now, look at verse 21. I love this. Now, no chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous, but rather grievous. Okay, look at me. He says, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but rather grievous. So what chastening is he talking about? Well, the chastening he's talking about is God's, but it's God's illustrated with ours. So, did you enjoy when your dad chastened you? I cannot imagine my dad saying to me, Bill, you're going to get a spanking, and this may be a shock to you, but it's not going to be enjoyable. I knew it wasn't enjoyable. Chastening is never enjoyable. You following this? Okay. So, now, no chastening. That would mean God's, but it would include ours. No chastening is enjoyable. Makes sense, does it not? Okay, back to verse 21. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Well, does it or doesn't it? Isn't that conclusive? Now, somebody says, okay, it's true, Bill, that when God chastens, it always brings righteousness. But it's not saying here that when a father chastens, it always brings righteousness. It's not. It's not saying that. He says, no chastening. None of it is enjoyable, but rather grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it bringeth about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, I understand that the subject at hand is God's, but he's illustrating God's chastening with ours. And he is saying here, it works. And it does. It works and it does. Okay, so what if I say, well, I've worked it and it doesn't work? Well, the answer is you didn't work it. See, so I'm serious. Just listen, trust God that it'll work. And if it hasn't seemed to work, get some help, get some advice, get some suggestions, and get at it. See? Remember the illustration with the kid wanting to go on the platform? Okay, think through it. I've forgotten his name now, but whatever his name was, you can't go on the platform, and I think we made him four. You can't go on the platform, and he goes up and looks over his shoulder at you, and he's going up on the platform. Now, circumstances may prevent this, but if you can, you go up and you get Junior and you take him someplace and you sit down with him and you explain to him that when you said you can't go on the platform, you meant he couldn't go on the platform, and if he's being cute about it, he could get a spanking for just being cute. You know what my dad said to me once? I was about 10. Dad said to me, Bill, you're doing a lot of stuff wrong and you know it. I said, none of it's a spanking matter. Spanking matter meant something that you did, that if you did it, you'd be spanked. Or you didn't do, and if you didn't do it, and you're supposed to, you'd be spanked. So he said, Bill, you've done a lot of little things, a lot of little things, a lot of little things, and you know, you're just flirting with spanking matters, but you haven't broken any spanking matter rules, but you've done a lot of things that are wrong, and you know it, and he said, I know it. And he was right. I knew it. I didn't know he knew it, but I knew it. So he said, you know it, and I know it. And he said, one of these days, you're going to break a spanking matter rule. And when you do, I'm going to pour all these other things into the same thing. And he said, you're going to get a spanking you will never, never forget. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think I ever got that spanking? No. You think I'm an idiot? I know I don't look very smart, but give me a break, people. You think I'm I'm an absolute dunce. When my dad said to me, you know it? Yes, I did. And I know it. Didn't know that. And when you break a spanking matter, all these things are going to be piled in. I said to myself, hey, I'm no dummy. I'm stopping everything. You following this? See, so did it work? Just the threat of it worked. Have you ever heard the phrase nuclear deterrent? The United States of America has had a nuclear capacity since at least 1945. So what is that? 55, 65, 72 years, something like that? 72 years. We've only used it once, correct? Only used it once. Arguably, I think this is clear, but I'll allow for differences of opinion. Arguably, we won the Cold War because of a threat. And the threat was, there's nothing you do to us without your being obliterated. So what kind of mind must the dictator in North Korea have? What kind of thinking ability? We will destroy the United States of America. Not going to be a very easy task. Because even if they did, what would the price be that they paid? In other words, if they hit Los Angeles and Chicago and New York and Boston and Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the centers of power in America. That was a little joke there, people. All right. If they hit all five of those, would that take care of all the nuclear subs that are in the Pacific? No. So I just think any kind of rational person would say, I may hate the United States of America, but I want to get along with them because of the threat of violence. I'm telling you, it works. I've often had people say to me, I bet you got a lot of spankings when you were a kid. No, I didn't. I bet you Pete got a lot of spankings when he was a kid. No, he didn't. We didn't get very many spankings because it didn't take very many. Just the threat. Now, I think with small children, young, very young children, 4, maybe younger, you may have to spank sometimes a couple times in the same week. But honestly, I think I can remember every spanking I ever got. And I know I could count them on 2 hands. I probably could on 1. Because spankings were awful and they were terrible, but they were like World War III. And once you went through World War III, or I should say II, once you went through World War II, you didn't never want to go through another one. See? And so the deal is it works. It works. It works. What do you know about Kim Jong-il or Un or whatever his name is? What do you know about him? You know what I know about him? He was never disciplined. You say because he's a renegade dictator? No. I know he was never disciplined because he doesn't understand the principles which would keep him safe. And from us. See? And so the bottom line is this one does work and you can raise children and you can raise children for God. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's always pleasant. But it certainly will have its pleasant times and you can train children that will turn out for God. And believe that and encourage everybody about that. And if you've had setbacks or heartbreaks and you're a little older, you're in your 50s or 60s or maybe even your 70s, don't discourage youngsters with boys and girls, dads and moms who are in their 20s and 30s. Give them confidence that if they'll do what God says, they will reap the rewards thereof. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this encouragement and truth in the Bible. Help us to live in light of it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?